Alma chapter 41. In this chapter, Alma talks about the restoration, which is what we had really said in the previous chapter was the real resurrection. But then this this tends to imply that the time when we're reunited with our bodies and take our place in the kingdom of God is really the restoration, or we'll just call that the restoration portion of the resurrection. Well, he explains what's going to happen on Judgment Day, and when you're restored to your body, and when you're restored to the kingdom of God, and he explains what restoring means, what happens. So, he first says that you're going to be judged according to your works. Now, again, someone wants to say, well, see, that's what it is. It's how many times I go to church, say whether I write my journal all the time, I've been doing my home teaching and been visiting teaching and. Did I go visit the poor and throw some crumbs their way and so on and so forth? And that's it explains here, that's not the works it's talking about, because it says that you'll be judged according to the desires of your heart. Okay, now we're beginning to see that it's the desire of your heart. It's not the action. It's how you are developing those desires and those feelings inside. Which is your character? What is your character? Is your character to do good? Does it want to do good? Does it desire to do good? I mean, this is not a mental thing. And notice again, it wasn't what my mind desired. Obviously, I want to, in my mind, I think, oh, yes, I want to do good to the poor. But does my heart want to do good to the poor? Meaning, am I willing to sacrifice for them and do it? Do I feel like I want to do that? And when I do sacrifice, is that a mental thing that I just realize is good? Or is it because do I enjoy the sacrifice in the sense that I love them and my heart is swelled out, swelled with respect to the people I'm helping, so to speak? I'm just using the example of helping someone else. That my heart is swelled, and so then whatever sacrifice I make is all right because my own love overpowers whatever I'm having to give up or the sacrifice that I'm having to make. Again, we're learning the idea of why it says that the afflictions of those were taken up in the joy of Christ. Well, are your sacrifices taken over by the joys of your own heart? And again, what are we developing here? We're developing a proper heart, or we're developing a personal character. That's what we're developing to go to the kingdom of God. And it says, it then says in verse 5 that you'll be raised to happiness according to your desires again. And if your desires are for happiness and they're for good, or desires of love, but everyone obviously has some love of a different thing, but is it for is it for good things? Is it a desire to see other people have freedom? Do we think about other people's freedom and their security and how this plays into their happiness, or do we just think of giving them some physical thing so our minds are just mentally on the world and a few physical things to give them, or are we really trying to take care of their happiness, their security? And their freedoms and so forth, and so that's why it gets into desires. And then it says in verse 6 that you need to repent, okay? And so the person that is going to heaven has repented. And so what does it say? It said that the repentant is when you have learned to desire righteousness, okay? And again, what is righteousness? It's when you desire all the things of Jesus Christ and the things he does and the work he tells you to do, which, again, I've explained in the first place was freedom. And then it goes on to say, then we see that people wanted to have their own land, and they wanted to have which was a security, and then they wanted to have protection from others. So do you desire all these kind of things from them, not just in having an army, but just in protecting a person from their neighbors or from the infringements or the impression of anyone? And do you desire these things of righteousness? Again, most clearly, though, do you desire Jesus Christ? Do you really desire to be with him and do what he did in his life, walk with him, feel how he felt? Or do we say, oh, gee, I'm glad I don't have to walk with the Lord, because then I wouldn't have my property. Or even I'd walk with the Lord, but I would rather stay home and listen to my stereo, or I'd rather work in my garden or something. Do you really believe that there was great happiness and joy in walking with Jesus Christ and doing the things he did? Well, that's your desires for happiness. Or desires for righteousness? Do you see what real righteousness is, or what real happiness is. And that comes by a change of heart and feeling that. And then it says, though, but do you suppose that ye shall be restored from sin to happiness? And he says, wickedness never was happiness. Again, you know, we have to study the what is meant here. But men continue to think that their wickedness is a happiness, or if they could have all their wickedness, they would have joy. But we can take the case of those who seek after adultery all the time. Are they thinking, or do they really feel happy? No, they're thinking about dominating or taking from that other person, and the other person being subjected to them, and they're thinking about their own selfish desires. But they can feel that other person, and they can feel that they have a desire to not to love them, but to hurt them and take what they want from them. But then they don't want to have any responsibility to them. It's the same with stealing. How do we work when we steal? We begin to figure out some rationalization. Well, I lived in poverty, and so they really took this from me, so I deserve it. Oh, that guy's a real mean person, and he deserves to have it taken. See, we have to figure out some hate portion when we begin to steal. It's just like with the government and the taxes. When they come to take the taxes to give to the poor, do they really love the poor, and do they really talk about how we all need to do this so that they inspire every one of us to want to run in and give our taxes, or do they talk about, oh, we're taking this from the rich who have really stolen it from you, and they don't pay their fair share anyway, and we're taking this guy off and putting him in jail because he didn't pay his all his fair share, and you did. And they always have these kind of talks, but it's always based on intimidation and fear and hate. It's never based on a love. And so we see how stealing is. And whenever when in the world, when we do anything for the poor or anyone else, it's always based on a hate feeling. Well, that's what they're saying. You don't think this is happiness. When you die, that is your heart, and those are the desires of your heart, and that's what you will be restored to, is that same sick feeling. And so don't think that you can have your wickedness and then all of a sudden you're going to be happy in it. You don't. That's a lie to yourself and a lie to God. You know that you're not, it won't be happy. And in fact, you'll have that same bitterness and that same hate feeling all the time. And then he goes on to say in verses 11 that the nature of God is the nature of happiness then. You see, we have to discover what happiness is and what righteousness is and what good feelings are. These come from the heart. These are the desires. That is his desires. Do we have those same desires? And if we don't, we can't live with God. So we're developing a nature of us. As it says here, it's not the carnal nature of the world. What's the carnal nature of the world? It's all in the mind, and how we can just rationale it in our mind, and what it is, and all the physical things. Again, oh yeah, I take care of the poor. I gave him a little bit of I gave him some little money or something. I mean, it's always some little product, you know, but it's not taking care of their mental state and really concern about their future and how they feel about, you know, their worries of the future and all this. Is it really taking care of all these mental states? No, we're not caring about the desires of their hearts or their mental states or anything, or their state or nature of their state of happiness. We're not concerned with that. All we're doing is concerned with the carnal things or a few physical things, and then say, well, you ought to be happy that you got this much or something. And this is how we react. And that's how we will feel in heaven. And so again, the most important thing I can say is you're developing your character or your heart, or the desires of your heart. And these are true desires, they're not mental desires. So therefore, as it says in verse 13, you're going to receive a restoration. How you feel in your heart is exactly how you're going to, what is going to be restored, and you're going to have that same feeling unless you can change it. And how do you change it again? You make your choice to follow God, and you believe that following him and learning of Christ is how we change, that we can't really figure it out on our own. We need his example, we need his influence, we need his spirit, we need to turn ourselves over to him, and then trust in him that he can show us the way. So then he says in verse 14, he tells him, deal justly and judge righteously. Notice these are things of the heart, meaning he's telling you, begin to learn how to do things according to your heart, because how, meaning that, that you have a have you have a true desire for justice, and when you judge other people, you do it with a concern for their happiness and a desire to help them and give them a fair chance and so on and so forth. But taking all of this from your heart, meaning he's trying to make you understand that's how you deal and judge in this life, because everything is a matter of dealing with life and making a judgment on what to do. So do it according to with righteous desires and not just according to the carnal mind again, because we then begin to see that we deal according to a code of the mind, and our courts are based on the justice and judgment of technicality and so forth, and we see that that's the carnal mind, and that leads us astray. We need to quit using our mind, because man's mind will continue to twist things. What we need to do is that we need to do it according to the heart. And as it says then in the end, therefore, the restoration, and it wants to finish, but they make that clear, because that's the thing that's always distorted, and that is that the sinner will be restored to righteousness. And it means, therefore, if you're a lawyer and you've twisted the word and played a game with the technicality, right, not really caring about justice and righteous judgment, and that you've been a salesman who's only been concerned with making a big commission and not doing the production and not giving not producing a good product and so forth, again, don't think that now, because you played the game according to the world, that now when you get restored, you're going to get restored to the with a good heart, because that's not what your heart is. And so he says, in the end, to make it absolutely clear, that when you die, your heart will be what is going to be restored, not what is not the acts or what is not something based on how you can superficially claim righteousness, meaning based on some acts of work. It's again the works of the heart, or the development of the heart, and we could seem to talk about that for a long time, because it's a frustrating concept, because men do not want to deal with their heart. In fact, they even tend to make fun of those who do try and do this and start saying, "Let's get practical," and things like that. And nonetheless, your heart is what will be restored, and that's how you do, and that is the thing that that determines what kingdom you're put into. And I repeat, that is what we refer to here as character development, or what we refer to as we discuss these scriptures as character development.